be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living. Thank you, Andrew. He offered you. Sing it unto him now. O Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy. Tried and true, I'll be your sanctuary before you. Amen and amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in 2 Peter, and we'll continue to read the scriptures and go on. Remember all the prayer requests that has been given out and everything, that the Lord would bless in each one of these and hold these people up and all. And remember now that if any of you want to go to Oklahoma with us, let us know. We've got now, as far as now, we have one van loaded, so we're starting on the other one, and we'll probably wind up having to take two vans. So if you want to go there with us on the July the 4th weekend, we'll be leaving on Wednesday night after service here and try to drive all night and get there, and then we'll come back probably on Monday, because everybody's trying to take off, you know, on the Monday following. And if you want to go with us, let us know. They're going to put us up and everything. It won't be no problems or nothing like that. They'll give us a bed to sleep in, and that's all we need. So we appreciate it. Had a wonderful time last night in the Bible study and all. Just had a good time. David brought his mother with us, and I hope she, you know, had a good time fellowshipping with us. But, you know, sometimes people don't understand us, but we try to make everything as simple as we can to talk on the things of God and what we believe and all. But had a real good time in it. Really good fellowship in the Lord. Any other announcements? I'm generally forgetting something. Yeah, remember the fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday, and the Lord willing, Brother Richard Wilson will be here with us for the weekend, preaching on Saturday and Sunday, you know. And then Wade, I think, will be up there the next weekend or something like that. It's, you know, but just remember these and just pray that the Lord would bless and guide each one. Amen. 2 Peter 1. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we cherish your presence and your love and understanding. And Lord, we pray that you would just come among us this morning and not just be an onlooker, a recorder of our lives, but to be one who would come and give us your understanding, Father, because that's what we need. We can read this only because of you and the ability that you've given us to be able to do that. So everything we have, you have given it unto us, and we thank you. And just have your way now, and forgive our sins, and lead us by your grace and love. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad to have Sister Milka's brother back there with us. Good to see him. All right. 2 Peter, and we've read this a lot, but we're still on the stature of a perfect man, and trying to get down to see what the prophet has taught us. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, see these promises, You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord added blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I know sometimes we're slow in doing things, and what I gave you this morning was actually just a definition of the each one of the words taken from Strong's Concordance upon your Bible there, to where that you can look at each one. I'm just giving you that. Now, I'm working on it. I have it in the office. If you went in there now, just please don't stir up all the pile I got laying there, because I got a bunch, and I'm trying to get it down to give you like faith and what I went through years ago, and wrote them down in my book there of the Stature of a Perfect Man, of what, like, faith and what it is, and then virtue and knowledge and temperance and things like that, to maybe it'll help you, and it'll save you from having to search out. By no means is it all the scriptures, you know, or anything, but yet it is just some chosen ones to be able to, for you to, you know, study from it and all. And I thought we were going to have a baby dedication, I guess it must be if she comes this afternoon, but anyhow, remember that. And then we have a baptismal service now after the service this afternoon. After the evening service, we will run down to Terrence's. We have a baptismal service. And little Benjamin back there, he wants to... Benjamin or Michael? Which one's the youngest one? Okay. And we have a baptismal service afterward. Benjamin, he wants to get baptized. So we'll be glad to do that and everything. And we just appreciate it. All right. Now, we have gotten into studying on the stature of a perfect man. And what have we found? How do we get these virtues? This is the one thing I want to keep dwelling into our hearts. We spoke a lot about it last night, you know, in the fellowship meeting, a Bible study. And, you know, we that's the one thing we want to just keep dwelling on to make sure we get an understanding. How does a natural baby grow? You know, very simple point. See, how does a natural baby grow? By eating. That's simple. See? Well, then how does a spiritual baby grow? By eating. See? Eating the Word of God. All right. So we don't want to remain babies. Paul said, you know, that when you need to be able to eat meat, he said, I've got to feed you milk again. You know. Well, see, he was expecting to find them by the time that he maybe came back to them or wrote to them, you know. Maybe he got them started, he's feeding them milk, you know. Well, then maybe he's, you know, thinking, well, surely next time I see you, you'll be eating meat. And some of them were sitting around, oh, man, I love meat, I love this, that, and the other. And he seen in the spiritual extent that they wasn't exactly where they thought they were. So he said, you know, I have to give you milk again. Because you don't give a baby, you start off, as we were talking last night, with milk. And you start off then with baby food. And you keep moving up. You don't give it a steak. See? Even when it gets teeth, like Abby Grace, she... You know, she's got a good many teeth and all, but she's just getting to the basis now of eating small things, and you want to do that. You don't want to give her a steak. Now, she could chew on it and all like that, but she might get off a big chunk and mess her up, you know, and choke her. But, you know, so you don't want to do that in the spiritual thing, because now we have to preach the gospel, and it has to fall for everyone, but we try to speak to everyone to where everyone can understand, and try to break it down. And that's always been my way of doing it, where other brothers just take a topic and just they hit the top of it and they run across, and that's fine. That's all right. But I don't do it that way, because you think that I'm real deep in the simple I try to bring, but you know, maybe it is to others that hasn't heard, but still I try to break it down as simple as I can to start from that place. You know, start from there and go upward, and that's why it takes me so long to do it, because that I have to spend the time building from the bottom up to where the others would just start and run straight across. Well, see, I found out that people don't catch it when you run straight across. I asked Brother Mote one day, I was on a series or on a talk, and I said, Brother Mote, how come they're not getting what I'm saying? They don't seem to be getting it. He said, well, remember, you know, then I was only preaching like once a week or something, and then sometimes wasn't even preaching if he got into a series. And he said, well, just remember, you spent 3 months studying that, and you expect the people to get it in 1 hour. What you spent 3 months, you know, to study on, and that's one thing that maybe you'll see that when I give you those things on the scriptures of faith and virtue and knowledge, that you'll see that I did at one time sit down and look up these things to try to, you know, get a better understanding, because we wanted the Bible to understand it. All right? But now, see, as the natural baby, though, eats, it grows. Now, when it's born, it has every part that it'll ever have. All right? We know that, because that's a natural baby. But if it doesn't eat, it doesn't develop, you know. But it's not born, as we were talking about last night, of trying to go up here and start up here or start over here. A baby's not born, if it is, as an abnormality. We're talking about a normal birth child that's born with a head that fits the size of the body, right? It's not born with a full-grown head. See, and that's what everybody wants. So, I just get the love of God. I just get the headstone. We're in the age of the headstone. We're born in this time, so that means we've got it. Well, evidently, that must not be exactly the way it is, because you'd be saying the baby would be birthed with a full-grown head. Well, see, that won't work. But it does have a head. And when you receive the new birth, sure, you receive a portion or a part, if you want to call it, or whatever you want to use the words there, of these virtues, right? We believe that, because that is the new birth. You get a baby form of faith. You get a baby form of virtue. You get a baby form of knowledge, temperance, faith. You get a baby form of even the love of God. But it's not fully made manifest. So we want that as a growth development, to where, as Paul says, you know, and Peter and them, like growing up into Him, see, the Word, all right, eating the Word. That's why I preach like I do, and that's why I believe in all the way I do, that we must take the message of the prophet, study the message, all that he preached, not just, you know, lay out little bitty simple things, because remember now, you only grow spiritually speaking, all right, now, spiritually speaking, you only grow with the amount of word that is brought unto you. That's why you have problems, say, in the days of Luther. That he could only grow so far. See, Wesley could grow further, you know, further amount of the growth, more required. Pentecost, Azusa Street, more was required. See, but we must come back to the faith of the fathers. All right. So then God, as he sends the word of the age, that's what he requires. He didn't require Luther to understand the seals, and I'm sure he probably preached on them, you know. But he didn't require that of him. See, he required the message of the just shall live by faith. All right. See, in each age had their requirement, and as they did, it was building it back to bring it to a place. See, but now we're in an age when all is required. This is not of age or the faith of the fathers. Although we have to have that, we must come that away, and that's what we're talking about, how to build it, as Peter was explaining. But this is the age of the restoration of all things. Not reformation, but restoration of all things back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Right? The headstone, which is Christ the Word. And as we look back and see him in the Word, we see what we're to be. All right. Now we can look back at Paul and Peter and them to see what they were and see what we need to be. But then we look to Jesus and see who he was and what he was. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. See, and the Word was with God and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. We don't have to worry about what to look for. We have the example before us. All right. And in that, we just grow into that. So he sent us in the end time the full word. Right. We're not looking for someone else to come and preach us another message. Right?
Right.
See, not another church age messenger, not another one to come, no. But to take this message the prophet has brought and break it down to the people that we may grow into the message, and to take all of the message, whether it be seals, Daniel 70 weeks, marriage and divorce. See, some people will take what they want. Right? All right. Now, that's like, you know, in back in the natural now, that's like feeding a baby only certain things. Now, you can give a baby baby food, and you feed it all of its life baby food. Now, it wouldn't necessarily, if you fed it enough, I'm just trying to describe this now, it wouldn't necessarily die of malnutrition, but it would have a very, very slow growth development, right? And to a place positionally that would come that it would be stunted and would not grow anymore, maybe. You know, I'm not a doctor, I'm just saying what it would look like, you know. So you would have problems. So what you do after a while, you give them something else to eat, something else. The prophet gave us a full course, seven-course meal of the seven seals of the book of Revelation. And people say, well, that's, we're not supposed to understand these deep things. Well, we're supposed to understand what God reveals. There's nothing deep. It's too simple. Now, I wish I could beat that into our heads, that in the Bible there's nothing deep. It's simple. I have never received a revelation. Have you? Have you ever received a revelation of a deep thing? When you do it, something simple, isn't it? God will refer to something simple to let you know what the seals are. Why? Because it's simple. See, our education pushes us upward, whereas the spiritual understanding brings us downward. See, all of them, when I'm talking about forgetting those things that are behind, I believe it's Paul. I pressed toward the mark, see. He was highly taught. He was going to be a high priest or even a lawyer or something, you know, under Gamaliel. But he said, forgetting those things. Now, he didn't forget nothing. What is he saying? Well, Paul, what'd you do? Well, I had a transplant on my brain. They just took out some of the brain that had that memory in it, closed it back up. Now, we're not silly. What is he saying? Forgetting those things that once I thought was right, and even to those things that was right, and knowing that those things that I saw that was right was only speaking of where I am now. See? As Peter said, you know, having a more sure word of prophecy. We having a more sure word of prophecy. We always say Peter said that, but it says we having a more sure word of prophecy. But see, we've got to grow into it. You say, well, now, all right, we understand that. Okay. Just keep repeating it until we get it by revelation. Okay. Now the point, see, then we get into the virtues and the things, and we studied up to the point now that we talked about temperance this past Wednesday. And, you know, after services, so a lot of questions was asked about the approach that I used to what the prophet said about temperance. All right, and see, what did he say? He said, now, temperance is not drinking alcohol, you know, stopping drinking alcohol. See, we related, well, what it is the controlling of the temper. Well, then I read to you, and you have it there, on 18 and 17 and 18 of your notes, where the prophet was given the definition of temperance. So let's just pick up there and go on now. And it's not that you stop drinking alcohol. That's natural things. That order went with the new birth. Now, we're not in the days of Martin Luther that drank the beer and sat in a pub and smoked a pipe and drank beer. We're not in that day now. See, we don't fall backward because we've had a message of sanctification to try to take that away from us, you know, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we shouldn't have no problem with drinking liquor. We shouldn't have any problem with running around with women, or men, you know, women running around with men. If we're new, if we're born again, now, if we do those things, we're not born again. That's just sensible, plain, blunt, you know. And no need to play with words. See? All right. You say, but Brother Dale, I'm born again, but I just got problems. Well, now, somewhere you need to get rid of that. That's those are natural things. See? All right. And see, that totally uncontrollable temper, that should be gone with the new birth. Because the new birth should bring you a certain amount of temperance. You know, I mean, you don't, what would you do if you had someone that got converted, you know, and they say, oh, I'm born again, the Holy Ghost came and lived in me, you know, it's been living in me, but then just start cussing like a sailor. You say, well, there's something wrong. You know, when there's a problem, you need to repent. You need to get that unclean demon out of you. You need to get set aside for service because that's not correct. All right. But see, then it's not a total uncontrollable, I just can't control my temper. I believe I'm born again, but I can't control my temper. Now, there's something wrong. That's not the form the prophet is using. He's talking about that temper that you have that's left in you. You say, well, I don't have no temper. Well, let me probe you a little bit. You know, I think about this a lot, and I know I'm an old hateful preacher that does things wrong. I agree with you, but, you know, if I can talk you, Brother David, if I can talk you out of your healing, and you stand up and you're telling me, Brother Dale, it's been revealed to me that I am healed. And I can start talking about it, and I can tell you, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. Everybody in the church tells you ain't got it. Now, if you got faith, you don't care who's arguing with you about it, right? If it's revealed to you, that's settled. Right. But now if I can talk you out of it. Right? There's something wrong with your faith.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, is that the honest way of stating it? There's something wrong.
Right. See?
Well, then you say, well, Brother Dale, sometimes you're so negative about something. I might be trying you to see what you'll do.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you can stand in the opposition of all things, then you know you got faith. It's been revealed to you. When I told that doctor, I said, he said, I'll take your kneecap off before long. That's life. Doctor, you ain't going to take my kneecap off. Well, I didn't walk out of there, you know. Well, I wonder where he will or not. Maybe he will. I might lose him. And boy, mine now, you know, naturally, that's been about almost that's 30 years ago or more. And now my knees are hurting the devil, he'll say. That doctor told you. But my Lord. I'm 68 years old. What are my knees supposed to be at 68 years old? But I still get up and go. And still don't have no problem that way, and don't let it override me either. But now listen. The prophet covering temperance. He says how to control your tongue. And he said not being a tattler. It doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol, you know. That's one of the lusts of the flesh. That means how to control your tongue, not be a tattler, how to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. He's not talking about a totally, you know, just ungodly temperance. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you've got that. Put it in the correct order. All right? But see, temperance. What's the tattling of the tongue? That was a question I was asking. Maybe others didn't understand. So what's the tattling of the tongue got to do with temperance?
Right.
You know. I mean, temperance is just my temper. What's the tattling of the tongue? Now, here's where tattling of the tongue is the problem. Here's where the Bible's against it, the prophet's against it, gossiping. Of course, we call it taking prayer requests now. You know, where we can discuss somebody for an hour on the phone, taking prayer requests. You know, we try to modernize it. All right. It all goes under the same thing. Now, here's the way it works. Now, listen, and let's see if we can hit that tattling and see what that temperance has to do with tattling. And you start talking to somebody on the phone. And you say, well, you know, Brother Dale the other day, he looked like he got a little bit upset. Well, now if I did, you're not gossiping. That's where everybody, our preachers, all the preachers say, don't take an accusation against an elder. Well, that also means don't take it against a person who's not an elder, you know, because you're not supposed to take an accusation against anybody. All right? But see, the preacher, oh, don't take an accusation against the elder. Don't speak against me. You get in trouble. Well, now, if I go do the wrong, you know, if I went out last night and got drunk, you know, and you got up this morning and said, I want to tell y'all now, Brother Dale went out last night and got drunk. Well, you know, you're not killing my influence. I'm killing my influence. You're telling the truth. All right. But now suppose I'm not guilty. Right? I'm not guilty of doing it. See, now you're lying. Okay? And even though you're just carrying a tale from somebody else, you know how it is when you're telling a tale, you know, they say it's still a secret. When you tell a person a secret, if you tell a person not to tell nobody else, it's still a secret. But if they do tell anybody else, tell them not to tell anybody else, and it's still a secret. Now, that doesn't go through my head, but that's human doings, right? But we're trying to get down to temperance, what it's got to do with the running of the tongue.
Right.
Now, suppose that I'm guilty or not guilty. See, I'm guilty or not guilty of the getting drunk last night, which on tape, I hope, surely all people understand I'm illustrating, because I didn't drink when I was a sinner. What would it be now?
Right.
I didn't care nothing about it. But now listen, if I was guilty or not guilty, now watch tattling turn into temperance.
Right.
Now, you start talking about somebody. Brother David, I hope he doesn't mind me using him, but he'd go to Wade and he'd say, Wade, I heard your daddy got drunk last night. Right. Now, if I'm guilty, see, no problem. But if I'm not guilty, and Wade would say, now, wait a minute, daddy was with me last night, brother. And I know he didn't get drunk because he was with me. Brother David said, okay, then we'll just forget it. See? Now, no problem. See, you're talking about something. That's not necessarily gossiping. That's human language. All right. But now, here's the problem. See, say Wade wouldn't know for sure, so David would say, you know, to him, and he'd be saying, well, I heard your daddy got drunk last night. And, you know, we need to pray for him. Well, okay. But then in a minute, he'd say, now, I tell you one thing, though. He don't need to be preaching to us in the morning. Now, what are you doing? You're gossiping. And you know yourself now. Be honest with yourself for one time in your life about something, if you will. You know that even the chemical imbalance or something of your body begins to develop. And when it does, you're doing wrong. Because, now listen, you start talking to somebody and you say, now he has no right to preach to us. That's my kids he's talking in front of. He has no right to do them things. He ought not be preaching. We ought to vote him out. Now what have you done? Come on. What have you done? The tattling of the tongue turned into temperance. What? Because you turned into a temper. And you know the temper's there. Nobody don't have to tell you whether you got a temper or not. We call it blushing in the face. The people out on the internet, that may not be your language, but it simply means that what has happened within your body is a chemical, something has happened in your body that you have rose up. And then we say, oh, my righteous indignation got raised up. Now, how close is it between righteous indignation and a temper? Now, and I'm honest, now you believe it if you want to, that's up to you. I believe Brother Branham had that problem, or he wouldn't have been preaching it and saying we need temperance. That he had problems with those things. The Lord Jesus, when he plaited the ropes and drove them out of the temple, now, he wasn't smiling. Something happened in his body that he planted the, you know, he plaited the ropes, the Bible says, or the whatever they were using. In other words, it took him a little time, whether it be 2 seconds or an hour, whatever, it took him time to make it. All right? And all that time he's thinking about what he's going to do. And all that time, he was getting upset. And if you'd ask him today, he said, did your body react? He'd say, sure did. He said, well, now that was because of the truth. I agree with you, and I know it, but I'm just trying to illustrate. Because the prophet said Jesus got angry. Now, he didn't say he got mad. I tried to explain that Wednesday. There's a lot of difference between mad and anger. You can have an anger about something, and that don't necessarily go into a temper. But look out here on the road today. You got road rages. You got people killing each other just because of somebody looking crooked. You know, like I told Brother Reed, you know, Jamaica, everywhere you go, I mean, the guy's pulling out of the road. You're passing him, or you're waving at the neighbors. Beep, 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 you know. And I mean, like Wade said, he was going to go to Jamaica and make a living selling horns, you know, and brakes. Because of fast running, you know. But I told Brother Reed, I said, Brother Reed, please. Because he drives all over the United States. He's been through Atlanta, you know, he's done it. I said, please, Brother Reed, don't go downtown Atlanta and blow that horn. I said, it doesn't mean hi and good morning to us. It means get out of the way. You know, hold it right there. Stop. You know, it doesn't mean hi. And I said, you're going to get hurt. Why? Because we take it differently. See, to them it's hot. Good. You know. Beep, pull back, let me in. You know. Keep from a wreck happening. Here they just run around down the road and shove you off. You know. You know. I mean, it just you gotta watch. We was coming up this morning, the guy was on a bicycle coming toward us, and the fella was fixing to pass me. Well, the first thing I done, and you know, I made sure that he moved over. I didn't lock the brakes because I knew what he's gonna do. He's gonna pass me on a long straight. Well, the guy was coming toward us on the bicycle. The guy was waving like, hey, I'm here, you know, because he's seen the car fixing to pull out. Well, I just slowed her down. And the guy got nearly up beside him, and then he dropped back, and then he went on over, and then he waved, and everything was fine. But what would have happened if that guy had took that wrong? You was the one that caused it. Well, I was just simply going to give him the whole road, you know, to keep him hitting that bike on the bicycle because he didn't see the guy, you know. But now listen. You understand how that running of the tongue leads into temper. You get upset. Now, I don't want to raise the hands, but I believe we all have problems with a little temper. From the pulpit to the back, we all have little problems, and on past the back in case there's somebody in the other room, you know, or down in the basement. We all have problems that we need to work on. Now, I'm just as honest as I can be. And as straight and truthful as I can be. I believe if you'd have asked Brother Branham the day before he had the car wreck, said, Brother Branham, do you have the patience that you need? He said, no, I don't. Brother Branham, do you still have problems? Because according to Sarah now, this is not my words, this is what she put out in that point years ago when she was sending out all those books. She said in that her daddy was highly upset when he left out there because it was coming from Tucson back to Jeff, and that Rebecca was supposed to have been in the car with Joe, with Billy Paul, and that she didn't leave with him. She stayed out there, and when he found it out, he was upset. Yeah. And I believe he had the headstone. What are you?
Amen.
Right? Because even when we're capped off the day before the change, we're going to still be having troubles. The minute before the change, we're going to be having troubles. The devil's not going to take a vacation because you get the headstone. See? The more you get of God, the more the devil comes after you. Like I told the people last night, and I've told you many times, I never did drink when I was a sinner. And I didn't cuss. I didn't use those vulgar words. You know, I just didn't. I like my teeth, as I always say. I wanted to keep them. And not necessarily that, I just didn't do it. But sometimes I'll be talking to somebody now, and all at once here comes a word, and I don't even... You say, well, Brother Dale, you sure need help. I do. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Because what ain't bothering you, what's bothering me ain't bothering you, but what's bothering you ain't bothering me. Right? So that's why we pray for one another. Why so body? What's bothering you doesn't bother me at all. I can look at you and somebody... You'll come along and tell me some of your troubles, and I'll look at that one. Man, I'd like to swap with you. But now, as far as you're concerned, you don't want to swap. Because you got a problem, and you see mine. Right? But do you understand that, where we can move on to patience? See, godly temperance. Let God take over. My sister asked last night, said, well, how do you know the difference? Well, the way you know the difference. One day somebody says something to you, you get a little upset. And you think, they shouldn't have said that. They didn't have no right to say that. They don't need to be saying that. And you go tell everybody else they didn't need to. But then after a little while, you know, somebody says something and you say, well, Lord, forgive them. Maybe I done something to cause it. What have you went? You've went from your problems with humanity and yielding yourself to God to say, God, come on the scene. Don't let me get upset. Now, we'll get over after, and I think it might be in the next one or something, where Brother Branham illustrates, and he says, you know, it's in the stature of perfect man. He said, Brother Branham, how can you go to those people like that and preach to them? He said, faith, knowing the word, but said virtue for those people. He said, knowledge that they don't understand. And said, then having temperance about it, not getting upset with them because they don't understand what you're saying. He said, in patience to realize that that's in that brother's heart. I remember one time it was on a tape and I was listening. I thought, what a man of God. Brother Branham said, this man told him, said, Brother Branham, he was going to preach at this church, you know. And the man told him, said, Brother Branham, see, he knew how Brother Branham preached and everything. He said, Brother Branham, he said, most of my people are legalists. That's what he said. Most of my people are legalists. In other words, fire with them, you know. He said, I took the man in my arms and hugged him. He said, because of the love he had for his people. He didn't say, bless God, when I get in there, I won't be legalist and I get through with him. He hugged the man up, and I'm sure that he probably preached a good sermon and not beating down on legalism, you know. Don't you? See, because that was his way of doing, see. But see, we learned to do that, where maybe in his early ministry and he walked in and seen something. Yeah. You hear him say, I wanted that so bad. It's in the stature of a perfect man, if I ain't mistaken, where the man was getting on to it. He said, I wanted that so bad. Because I've tried, now I'm trying to say this and then we'll get on to patience. Because you may not believe this, but that's up to you. The prophet said the headstone hadn't come. It's in his message there. All right. And when he preached the stature of a perfect man, he had not been to Tucson, Arizona and connected with the angels. There's where I believe his adoption came into being. His headstone, the message came. I believe that. If you think it was an early ministry, all right, that's fine. But still, he lacked something. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, get spoken words, original seed. All right? Spoken words, original seed, preached in 1962. Somewhere close, I don't remember the exact dates, but somewhere close to the stature of a perfect man. At least it was in the same year. And this is what he said. You remember he got over so far and he said, God, I got him out on a limb. Said, what am I going to do? He said, I don't see no rapture. I don't see, in other words, I don't see nothing no further than where we're at. What am I going to do? I'm paraphrasing it. It's pretty close to correct in almost wording. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. He picked up his pen and started to write, and he come right down to where he was, to the exact place in the Word that he was had preached or had his thoughts to bring the message. And he, in other words, he's human. He thought, okay, God, what I do? I got him out on the limb. The Holy Spirit says, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. All right? Now, that's what the prophet said, the Holy Spirit said to him, as of yet. So as of yet, the message of Malachi 4 had not come into being, right? As of the stature of a perfect man, he had not preached his message, quote, we say, that came into where he said in like the message of the rapture, where he said when the message came, not in the preparation, but in the opening of the seals and the things. That was his message to bring, right? The other was a restoration back to the faith of the fathers. So that's what he's doing here, teaching us back to the faith of the fathers in 62. And then the head comes. And that's what we must do. That's what I've always tried to get us to see. We must come this way. If you want the headstone, this is the way to come to the place to receive it. What? Start off by getting born again, faith, and then grow in the word, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Then the Holy Spirit, like on the disciples, had it where it says Holy Spirit here. They didn't stop in brotherly kindness. They had this Holy Spirit here down. But they did not have the headstone. All right? And see, that's the way we must climb to receive. I got laid off at General Motors that time for God to reveal that to me, because that's what me and Brother Moat were talking about. And man, I would have took 2 weeks off if they'd give it to me. That's what I went back and told them. I said, don't give me a day off the next time for something I didn't do. But I said, don't give me a day off next time. Give me a week. I said, because God showed me something. You know what? They never touched me from then on. You know, I mean, they just left me alone. The word got out, leave that man alone. And they just left me alone because they didn't know what to do with me. Because you know, here I was saying, give me more time off because God revealed something to me. It was well worth a year off for what he revealed that night to me. See? But this is what he revealed, that it's a growth development. That Brother Branham growed upward as he preached it. He walked right on into the headstone. And met it there in Tucson, Arizona, through the opening of the word that he brought back to Jeffersonville. The headstone. That's fulfilling Zerubbabel and all of the things, you know, that's doing. But you see what I'm talking about now? The temperance is to be able to control your temper. Control your tongue. Your tongue runs because your temper gets messed up. No, Brother Dale. I was talking. Now, if you'd have heard me talking to that brother and sister, you would have thought that I was just had all the love in the world. Yeah, baloney. That's the way to say it. Flattery won't get you nowhere except where you want to go. You know. All right, but now let's get it. See? He said, now here's the point I want to cover just a little bit, and then we'll get into patience just for a minute. Look at the number 18 on your notes right in the middle where he's talking about it. It said, and if you got, this is Stature of Perfect Man, page 34. If you got it like that, add it to your faith. If you still blow up and sice and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got no, you can't add that because it won't add. And watch it. See, it won't vulcanize. You couldn't take a piece of rubber and vulcanize it to a piece of iron. Now, we understand that, right? What is he talking about, vulcanized? In the Statue of a Perfect Man, he uses cement, you know, and he uses what we were talking about the other day when the word add, you know, the mix, to where that it goes to the point of bonding two together until they both become one. Now, here's my point. Now, listen. And I try my best to be as honest with you as I can. But see, we could have faith. We may have a great head knowledge. When I was first born again there, and when I come into the message, I mean, for 2 years, I'd done nothing but just read and studied, you know. I mean, just all the time, 6 books in one day and 2 tapes. Every day I'd listen to a tape going to work and one coming back home. And Brother Colley knows I was up there with him all the time, and I could just read all the time. I had a great knowledge. They called me a 2-year theologian, and I couldn't help it. That's what they called me. But now listen, I had a great head knowledge. But was that revelation? You see, yeah, well, see, then I didn't have much virtue. So maybe I had a problem. Now I'm going to try to explain something. All right. So now listen to what the prophet's talking about, vulcanizing something. See, then you would have to visualize as much as you could in the natural, because this is all I can get in my mind to bring. Studying brings knowledge. And studying will bring a certain amount of temperance. Because you'll learn not to do those things, right? It will bring patience unto you, right? And it will bring the Holy Spirit, and you got the new birth. See? But those things are not vulcanized in. So you say, well, I just take from my knowledge and go on up. No. You're setting up in midair because you've got a gap between faith and knowledge. God may reveal something to you that's in the headstone. That don't mean you have a headstone. Now, I'm trying, see, to get a point across, so listen. He may reveal something to you that's about brotherly kindness. A great understanding can come to you of those things. But if they're not vulcanized together, they're only laying there in the mental capacity and as much as God can reveal unto you. But see, let it come up as it comes. Get the new birth. All right? Now, don't try to say, okay, now, I need virtue. So, now, if the prophet said it, people say, I need virtue, so I just have virtue. No. Read the message. Hear the seals. Hear the marriage and divorce. Study the message all the way, because it's the message of Malachi 4 that does the two things. Brings the virtues into the body, and then the seals, which is literally, as Wade was bringing out, word by word, bring that unto you. See? Because I was studying the seal book. That's what I wanted. Brother Modi told me about, you know, the prophet preaching the seals. And I thought, man, I want that book. You know. He said, but you're not going to get it. Okay? He had wisdom. He had knowledge. And he had patience with me. You know. I'm sure I tried it a lot on him, but he said, you got to read this book. 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 Okay. I took the church age book and probably might have been 3 days. I doubt if it was that long. You know, I mean, as fast as I could read. God, I wanted that seal book. Well, I was getting a lot of knowledge that I didn't know before, right? But I wasn't concerned about what that was as much, except I was learning a history, seemingly. Well, then he had certain books laid out that I had to read. And then finally one day he gave me the seal book. And I thought, when I get in that seal book, man, I'm going to learn something. Because I'd read them seals, and I wondered what it was, and what them writers was, and what all that was. Hadn't you? You know. Because I'd read the Bible before I've come in the message. See, that's what I read over and over. But see, when I did, then I began to read the seal book. Now, I'm as honest as I can be with you. I learned a lot of things. I underlined a lot of things that I learned as I was going through the seal book. But you know what I done when I finished the seal book? I didn't, you know, do like everybody else. Boy, I got it now. I know what them seals are. You know what I done? I laid that seal book down. I had learned a great knowledge of the things of the seals and the opening and what they were. But I knew that there was something wrong. And I knew for me to reread it would bring it only more to the basis of doing. You know where I went? I went back to the church age book. And I began to study it. I wasn't just reading it to try to get through where I could get that seal book. I began to study it. I began to take it in, and I began to compare and to read and to study the Word and to bring out the Scriptures. You know yourself in the church age book that's the greatest book that can be as far as anybody else writing of what the prophet said, because, I mean, it just, the whole Bible is in there, really. And a lot of times he's not saying this is the so-and-so way, but he's reading Scripture, you know, bringing it across, right? Now, because you see, I knew there's something wrong. I went through that church age book. I studied that church age book. Then I went back and read the seal book. I got a whole lot more out of it. But there's still a problem. See? So what did I do? I kept studying everything else I could get. Brother Tatum gave me 80 books at one time, and then I think 50 at another time. And I thank God that I got embarrassed getting so many books from him, because he told me, he said, if it's $2, you get you one, leave me one. And see, I've got books that most people don't have, you know, that's in the Message. But I began to do that. And as I began to do that, it began to bring a patience to me. A patience that I began to realize that I didn't know what my brain knew by revelation. See, these things are godly added. They are not just yours, but you. See. What is it that would keep you from rising up where a few days before you would raise up? It's godly temperance, right? All right. Coming out to patience, what would it be? See, I'm trying to illustrate to you what happened in my life. That I waited and I waited and waited before I'd ever preach those seals. I waited until I seen it. And I seen it throughout the Bible and everything. In 1979, I tried to preach on the seals. And I really enjoyed it. I wish we'd have kept those, but we destroyed most of it. You know, because of the old reels and things. But I just wasn't satisfied. There was still something wrong. 1982, I began to preach on them again because I saw what I needed in 79. See, it's a growth development. And so if I hadn't just, what if I'd have just kept trying to pound on that in 79, I would have went off somewhere. But instead, I laid it aside and waited patiently for God to quicken to me what I needed to know, and then I preached it. Because see, patience, now you know what the prophet says patience is. He says, first off, have patience with God. I've studied, and you know that I've told you over and over about it, I've studied 20, 30 years on something before I'd ever preach it. Could tell you everything Brother Branham said on that topic. But I wouldn't preach it. Why? Just like the token, I've preached it many times, and I believe what I preach is right. But then the Lord the other week or so there, a few weeks ago, he said, here, take it on up now. It's okay. See? Patience with God. You're prayed for, the prophet says. And you know it. It's on your notes there, Stature of a Perfect Man. When he's talking about patience, 19 and 20, I think, is the two. He said, first off, is have patience with God. You prayed for. You say, oh, I feel so much better. And then you start even maybe getting sicker. The prophet says that's the greatest sign that you're healed. But does that go through the mental faculty of your brain in the correct order? Come on. We're human beings. Plain language, and I hope everybody understands what I'm fixing to say. For Brother Branham to say that you're going to get sicker after you prayed for is a greater sign that you're healed than anything else. Now, that don't fit your brain. Now, you tell me it does, I'll just laugh all day long at you and say you're crazy because it don't fit your brain. That's got to be revealed. Right. Because that's totally contrary to all medical science. It's totally contrary to anything your brain can conceive. That the greatest sign is that you get worse. Oh yeah, we can explain what the prophet said about it because the animal dying and it swells up and it does this. No, that's not a revelation. That's an explanation. But would God ever reveal something to you? Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter where it comes that day, comes that year, comes whenever it comes. Don't worry about it. But you see, what we do is we say we got faith, and it is, amen, mental problem. But then we prop it up by saying, Abraham had to wait. Now, we know that's true. Abraham had to wait. But you know what Abraham had all the time he is waiting? Now, your prophet said it, so you got to agree with him. He said he had the substance. Nobody couldn't talk him out of it. Like I was illustrating a while ago with Brother David, and he'd come and he'd tell me, Brother Dale, the Lord's revealed to me that I'm healed. I said, you sure? You don't act like it. After a while, he just gets all shook up with me, right? Because I'm supposed to agree with him. But I look like I'm trying to talk him out of it. And I tell him, say, why don't you go to the doctor? The prophet said the first thing you're supposed to go to the doctor. See? Now, is that right? What Brother Brady said, is that right? But you see, we want everybody around to agree with us. Richard the other day was laughing. He said, how can you have real faith to believe in that you're healed when everybody says you got cancer? I told him, I said, you just believe what God says. Forget it. That's tests and trials. Yeah, but don't you think you ought to go to the doctor? That's why I try to tell you. Why would the prophet say your first duty is to go to the doctor? Now, here's a man that prayed for the dead being raised. Did he mean for the dead person to go down to the doctor and let the doctor tell him he's alive? You're silly, Brother Dale. No, I'm not silly. I'm straight. What did Jesus do? Come on. What did Jesus do? Now, every case it didn't happen, but a lot of them, what did he say? Go show yourself to the priest. Go offer the sacrifice of Moses. Right. Well, I'll tell you what. I thought he healed me. Now he's telling me to go back down yonder. See? What's wrong with going to the doctor? See, but everybody got that super-duper faith. I ain't going to no doctor. That old doctor, he's lying anyway. Well, now, if you got a cancer, he ain't lying. But see, what I see is people do that, you know, they go for years. And I'm not throwing off on nobody. Thank God for people that's got faith and believe it. Don't think I'm saying one word against anybody. I've been healed. You know it. You've seen it. You walk with me. But you know the way I do it. I just take God at His word and just keep saying, thank you, Lord. I am healed until I walk right into it. But see, everybody with a super duper, I ain't taking no medicine. You let them get about 65 years old and the old body begins to hurt. And you'll see them. So I don't believe in taking medicine, but you know, the doctor said it's good for you to take an aspirin. What's going on? It wasn't all the faith to begin with. It was a mental concept. You say, well, what's this got to do with patience? Because patience is waiting on God. And you know what you do sometimes? You're waiting on God to deliver you. I tell you, the one thing that tries my patience more than anything is to go to the doctor's office and your appointment is 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock you finally see the doctor. Now that tries my patience. And I've almost said it a few times, and one of these days I probably will because my temper will raise up. Okay. I've often thought, I ought to just tell the doctor, say, doctor, how much you get paid an hour? And you calculate with it? And I calculate how much I get paid an hour, you know. I said, doctor, I get maybe $10 an hour and you get 50. I'm not going to write you a bill for 50, but I'm going to write you a bill for 2 hours for 20 bucks that I sit here and wait on you. Now, I understand. I love doctors, and you know that. I'm just trying to make a point. We get, sometimes our patience gets pretty thin. But is it thin with God? Waiting on God to make it manifest. Seeing Brother Richard Marlowe there years ago, we was talking about it. He used to be He never was a big fat guy like me. He was always, but he was, you know, he's pretty husky and everything. But seeing him just deteriorate and going to the doctors and doing what the doctor says. Well, see, then he come in this morning and testified. Well, you better know one thing. Now, here, this is going to sound like I don't even believe what he said. Here's one thing. Brother Richard, the devil will be after you this week because you said that this morning. So I'm warning you. When he comes at you, just lie. Because he'll say, somebody will come to you, something will happen this week, and he'll try his best to tear you down. Because when you testify something, the devil's going to get on to you. So just don't worry about it. But see, have patience with God, to wait on God to make manifest. And still say what God says. Let me go down, as we call the old, you know, the old cowboy wanted to go down with his boots on, as we call it here. Yeah. Let me go down with my boots on, confessing that I'm healed. And that way I go to the last moment that away. I don't do like a lot of people do. See, oh, I've got faith, I've got faith, I've got faith. The Lord's going to deliver me from all of this. I've got faith. And then you see them gradually begin to deteriorate in their faith until they finally say, well, you know, maybe God wants me to go to the doctor because maybe they can take my case and find some medical way of healing the world of cancer. I may have to be a martyr for that. See, you see right real quick, they don't have faith. They got mental faith. You, me, whoever. Abraham didn't have that kind. When God told Abraham he was going to have a child, he didn't tell him who he was going to have it by. He just told him he was going to have one. He went out telling everybody, I'm going to have a baby. Well, who by? You and Sarah can't have any. You know, he might have tried to prop up a little bit, some of it himself, one day when Sarah began to say, hey, let me give you Hagar. Maybe Abraham. But about the time Hagar had that baby and all that trouble started happening about it, you know, and she had to leave and had to come back and had to do this, that, and the other. About that time, I'm sure Abraham figured out that he goofed up. But you know what? God didn't count that. Because he still had the faith. You've heard Brother Brown say he started getting the Buddha eyes and the diapers together and the things, you know. All that 25 years, you see him. Abraham. Because his name was Abram. Abram means high father. Didn't have a child. Finally winds up one by Hagar. That's still not the promise. Somebody sees him one day and they said, hey, Abram, how you doing? He said, oh, hadn't you heard? My name's been changed. What's your name now? My name's Abraham. God met me at Abraham. Abram means high father. You know, I know children. Now you say your name is changed to Abraham, and Abraham means father of nations. So the only thing we can see is one-sided. We can see a bunch of Arabs going that way. But we don't see no promise. He said, don't worry about it. Because God told me now who it's going to come from. You understand what? Brother Branham, go read the message. He said, Abraham had patience with God. Right? Patience to believe that when you're sick, that God has healed you. Go to the doctor and let the doctor give you the things that will help you. Because that's what I say. Thank God for aspirin. You know that Brother Branham said your little nitroglycerin pill? He said God knew in this age that we would not be able to have the faith for. Said he gave that nitroglycerin pill to the doctors because he knew that all that does is stimulate that flow of blood around that part of your heart to bring and help you with it. He said God knew we'd need that. He said, thank God for good doctors. He said, there'll even be a place for them one day. that have been real good doctors. And there's a lot of quacks out there, of course there's a lot of quack preachers too. That's what Dr. Atkins and I used to laugh and talk about. I'd tell him, I'd say, there's a lot of quack doctors. We know that, Dr. Atkins, and he never would say it because he was too kind of a guy to do it. I said, you don't have to say it because I don't want to say it. There's a bunch of quack preachers too. He just lied. But listen, have patience with God. When he tells you something, go. What about Wade and all the years that we confessed that he would be back? And then what about in the last, a year before he came back, and I told my wife, word be a witness of it. I said, he'd also be in the pulpit preaching with me. Why? Because I had patience with God. Having patience now with the grandkids that have come along. But what does it matter how bad it gets? Oh, if I could just see it getting better. If I could just feel better, I'd go tell everybody I'm healed. See, like I was saying there a while ago, see, you say, well, we got all the quotes where Brother Branham said, you know, about the swelling up, that it would be a greater witness for you to get sicker. You remember, let's see, the child that was there, and I believe it was Brother Bosworth's child, I'm not certain, that had the problem with the heart, and they said the monitor, the girl saw it, you know, the monitor that was on him, said there's never been anybody went to that low, and it went down so low, and said there's never been anybody went that low and come back up. He said, lady, said, you're looking at your machine. Said, I'm looking to the promise. Now, if you'll check it out, I believe you'll find this statement is in there. Brother Brennan said for about 3 days the child got worse. All that 3 days, they kept saying, but lady, that machine, it's what you say. God told me. And I've got patience. All right, what's the last one just for a second? What did he say? And have patience with one another. Right? Now, that's where the hard part's at. Sometimes I can have patience with God better than I can have patience with y'all. In Southern language, on the tapes after, y'all means everybody. You know, all y'all, you know, we're Southern. Like Paul said, you all. That just means everybody in the building, everybody in this church. It's sometimes hard to have patience with one another, isn't it? Come on, I know I try your patience a lot of times. But you know, you try mine too. And sometimes I get upset. I hope you'll admit you do. But you see, what we should do is like Brother Branham said. How many of us do it this way? Somebody says something about you, to you, about you or whatever. Brother Branham said, what, you remember Brother Lee Vail when they were saying something about Brother Branham, and Brother Lee said, well, the Brother Branham don't understand how you can put up with that. He said, that's just a trial. It's a test. You know, just a problem. He said, well, I just can't, it ain't in me. He said, but in other words, you need the patience, Brother Lee. He said, sometimes God will have you to say something to people, or somebody say something to you, I believe is the correct way of quoting it, right, to see how you'll react. And you know what your reaction shows? Where you are. Right? See? So if somebody come along and stir you just a little bit, you need patience. I could say something that I pray a lot about, but God has tried my patience over the years. To be able to stand and walk in the message and try to help people. When you know that they've turned you down, and no matter what, you still go and try to help them. You still try to do everything you can to help them. And there's one certain thing that has always come against me, and it always has been, and ever since I've been in the message, it's always come against me, was one certain thing, one certain way. Well, you know what? I know and realize that I need to work on that spot. You know, I know where I need to work. I can fool you, but I can't fool myself, because myself is the Holy Ghost is telling me. I can fool you by letting. I need to work on that place. But there's a certain way, a certain thing that bothers me more than anything else. You know what? I need to work on that.
Right.
Do you know what? If I told you what it was, you'd laugh because it wouldn't bother you. But now what you do, I'd laugh because that wouldn't bother me. You tell me a lot of times, I say, hey, I know how to handle this situation. But see, I'm not in your shoes. I'm not in your situation, so I try my best to have patience. And Brother Brown said, having patience with one another. He said, a pastor is supposed to be one that can sit down between two people and not take sides. Now, how many people can do that? Now, you know what 99.9 and probably even closer would do. They're going to take sides with one or the other. And Brother Moat gave me a good point years ago. He said, Brother Dale, don't never get between a man and his wife. He said, you get between them. He said, don't you ever say anything. He said, because when it's all done and finished, they're going to get back together. And they're going to blame you for every bit of it. And I said, brain, remember that.
Amen.
And I've tried my best to do that. When even I would say that, hey, I would see which side I would agree with, but you can't make the statement of agreeing because somebody's going to be upset. But have patience with one another. See? To look at each other and say, let me pray for that person. Not go out and talk and tattle because I'm going to get intemperance and I'm going to need that. Let me pray for that person. See, that's why I know I live a life of an oddity. I know that. I mean, you don't have to tell me. I know that. But I live it because of the way that I believe that between me and God and the way we operate. Just like I didn't tell anybody until I went to Jamaica and back to the decision of holding off on starting a building here. Because, you know, I mean, I know you voted for it to be done, but let's just wait a little while and see what this economy does. See what it takes place over the next few months or a while. See, but see, I don't. When I do that, I make my own decision. And I have to stand on my decision. But see, then just have patience with me. You say, well, do you believe the Lord? No, I didn't say that. If I'd have told you, if I'd have said the Lord said that, I'd have told you the Lord said it. All right? But see, I said it. So I have patience. Because half would say, let's go on. Other half would say, well, no, let's just don't. It would be up and down, you know, maybe, or whatever. 90% might say go on, and 10% might say not. I don't know. But see, just have patience with one another. You know, I know this way. I know sometimes the ministers I bring in, some of you, you know, you maybe not like the ministers or maybe the depth that they preach. And you say, well, you know, why don't he get somebody else? Well, what if that's what you need? You know, what if that sermon is what you need? So instead of sitting there all swelled up and poutified the whole thing, do you pray for the person?
Amen.
You know? Now you know yourself, Brother Forney, we love him here, and he preaches good. I mean, to me, he's the best evangelist is on the field. Now, I bar no holes, evangelist on the field, going, I bar no holes.
Right.
I'll put that out publicly, Brother Jewel Forney.
Right.
But you know, last time he was here, he preached the simplest message.
Amen.
I mean, it was just like a baby message. But you know what? He was talking to us babies. And he said, this is what the Lord gave me, and I'm going to preach it. Well, you know, I went to Jamaica, and when Brother Reed had They'd asked me to come. I thought, well, what am I going to preach on? By the time I get there, I ain't no telling what kind of series I'll be in, you know, and what am I going to preach on? And I just kept waiting, kept waiting. Well, okay, Lord. You know, not too long before then, I said, well, I'll just take my notes. And I did. I took the notes dated back to the first of this year, you know. And I ran off quotes along with those messages. And I said, I'll preach one of these, whatever you give me. And you know what it was? I said, preach on a new birth. Lord, those people are, you know, if I went to some of these other places, maybe, but they're well established, you know, in the message. And you've heard them preach, Brother Bartley, Brother Reed, and them, you've heard them preach, you know. But you know what? I went and preached on a new birth. It's simply from justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm sure a lot of people there had to have patience with me because they thought I was going to come, and I generally do go with something, you know, that they're generally not thinking on and try to stir them up and all of that. But when I finished that day, might have been one person. There was a boy that drove a taxi for some of them to come over, sitting there with two ear bobs on and everything else, a man in the group, you know. Boy, he paid attention to what I was saying. You know, it might have been him that I went for. So that was all right. But you know, it might have been for a whole lot of people over there. Because once it was over, they were all talking about it. And Brother Reed, when we, you know, was there, he told me, he said, you really done it. So I preached on a new birth. Then that evening, I went up, you know, like a little bit upward, you know. Not being mixed with faith. But then when I got over to Brother Reed's, I just went all the way back to the beginning. Started the new birth, not being mixed with faith. Carried it right on the end of speaking the word. Brother Reed and them at the church were just shouting, rejoicing. He said, Brother Dale, you don't know how much you stirred up in us. Well, see, having patience to wait. Patience to wait until, you know, that God would give me the right thing to say. And see, Brother Reed knows me one thing. He knows if I come over and told him, Brother Reed, I'm going to preach on the stature of a perfect man. God showed me. He wouldn't argue with me about it. Even if I was going to preach on something that he didn't agree with, maybe all total, I don't think he would argue with me about it. Because he'd say, whatever God gives you, you preach it. I think his confidence is into that point. But now, there's no way I would go over there to try to preach on something that I could think of that they need. Because contrary to your thinking, I don't do that here. I don't try to think what you need. I try to think what all of us needs. If I know something Sister Trudy needs, I've got no problem going to Sister Trudy. I think you need so-and-so. But if there's 10 in the group, what I do, I just preach to the whole group. Sister Trudy said, he's talking about me. Somebody else in the back said, no, he's talking about me. Sister Rachel back there said, I talk about her all the time. Well, she's going to be gone to New Mexico, and see, I don't have to preach about her while she's gone. She said she's going to listen to it on the internet to see if I did. But listen, having patience with one another. Come on, Brother D. Patience with one another. To where that we can wait to see what God is saying. To see what God is doing. To listen. Like I said, I know the way I preach tries your patience. Because some of you say, well, Brother Dale, get on the headstone. We want to know about the headstone. Get on the headstone. Then no, we need to talk about faith for a little bit. Now let me express Brother Branham to you and see if I'm right. Have you ever listened to a message or read a book yet that Brother Branham didn't explain water baptism? Now, there may be some, but you know what I'm saying. I'd say over 90% or more than that of the services that Brother Round preached, he always preached on water baptism. He'd always hit one God. Right. Well, see, you're going right along, you get in the sealed book, and you're just reading right along in the sealed book, and there you're following Brother Branham, and he's bringing out about these great thunders and great things. All at once he says, yeah, and that's why you need to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just stops, and he just goes through, and he just spends 15, 20 minutes talking about water baptism. He said, Brother Brown, why didn't you continue on telling us about this great thunder? But you see, I found out a long time ago the Bible's written that way. Especially the Apostle Paul. Go read the Apostle Paul. And read something. He's on a topic in 1 Corinthians. Check it. I'll be glad to go in and show you sometime. He's preaching on something on 1 Corinthians. And all at once he seemed to change his whole topic. And he goes to something else. Two chapters later, you find him coming back and picking that thought up. You say, well, that's just his brain. You know, that's the way we all work. You know, it might be the Holy Ghost. Well, now I'll make these statements to you. You know, between the sixth and seventh church age, there's a breach. Brother Brown preached the ten virgins. All right. Between the church ages and the seals, there's a breach. He had to preach like God in simplicity, etc. Between the sixth and seventh seal, there's a breach, a gap. See? Well, what's he doing? You've got to fill that gap up to be able to go over. So what's he doing? He knows our thinking. He's coming along on something. He's bringing those thunders down. And all at once he sees they're not getting it. The Holy Spirit's the one seeing it, not him. So he drops back and he preaches water baptism. You know what he's doing? He's filling that gap. And see, Paul will be on a topic. He drops a topic. Two chapters later, he picks the topic back up. You could take them like this and just pull them together. You know, we put parentheses in between, you know. See, you know, and then go back. See, what that parenthesis is doing is it means that you, what you're saying can't be comprehended right here. But I can't go over here and say this because I'd leave such a gap in your mind until it's lost. So parentheses, you start to explain it. Right? And then that just fits it all together. Preacher preaching on something, you see him look like he runs off on a racehorse track, you know. But maybe you need the racehorse track. All right. Let's have patience with one another. Patience with God to wait on God to fulfill His Word. Patience to realize that maybe sometimes we need to pray. Let's stand. Patience when sometimes a preacher preaches too long. Let's see. Having patience. I have never, and I always pray this way, when I go anywhere, it doesn't matter if the person I'm going to hear, if I believe what they preach or not. I do not go with a wrong attitude to try to say, well, I'll just sit there and pick him to death. Boy, I'll write down everything he's off on, you know. You know what I do? I pray, God, help me. Feed me, Lord. And sometimes I've got right in the middle of a sermon sitting there saying, Lord. I mean, I'm crying inside. I'm saying, God, I've been sitting here 30, 45 minutes and you ain't spoke to me about nothing. Please feed my soul. Don't waste my time being sitting here, Lord. I've tried to come and listen. And all at once a man says something. And maybe that was all that was to be said. All I got out of it was to get one thing. I said, well, thank you, Lord. I got my nugget. I got what I needed. Patience. Go ahead, Brother Dick. What we got? Anybody have a need? 319. Anybody has a need? The upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Let's give you a prayer clause for that, folks. Let's just believe. Our brother has a physical need. Let's believe. I believe in instant healing. I believe in God doing what He wants to. That's my patience. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give this prayer clock to our brother because he has this mole that's bothering him, a condition that's bothering him, and he said it was going away, but he wants you to take it all away. And we believe you, Father. And we condemn the life of that thing that's bothering you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just go believe and see. where these abound. Terrence has got a toothache. Father, he had a toothache because that's what we believe. We believe by your stripes he's healed. We condemn the hurt. And Lord, and just help us to believe what you say. And Jesus is your name. Anybody else? Just believe. Your ground. Our sister's shoulder's bothering her real bad. So let's believe, all right? Father, you heard our sister. She said her shoulder's hurting her. But we say that by your stripes she's healed. And this has gone away from her because we believe your word and we just say what you say. And that's the only thing we can say, by your stripes she's healed. Now just bring into manifestation what we're believing, because we release our faith. We let it go out, Lord. Let virtue, Father, come forth, strength to deliver, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe? Anybody else? Just believe and see. To scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray, will you? It's a good way to put it. Our sister said she needs patience and temperance and all of it. That's the best way to say it, isn't it? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you made a statement one day that we depend upon. You said, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So we believe that our sister has a hunger in her heart. She wouldn't be here. She desires these things. So now, Father, just come and make it manifest. And just let her be totally taken out of the way to where that you can live and move and be and through her. And if you can speak through her, you can have the patience of you, so the Lord can be in our sister. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? The upward way. You? Anybody else? Every day, still praying out. Thy onward bound. You're dismissed. Just remember the service this afternoon. Your ground.